in studio with me is attorney Ray Kaplan of the Kaplan Law Firm, also known as the Student Loan Assassin. Ray's in here talking about changes this year to the relief and forgiveness programs. Fire away there, Ray. You and I were talking during the break, and I'm totally blown away. What are the major changes that our listeners should be aware of?
Yeah, so there are major changes that have been happening for quite some time under the Biden administration. I know everybody kind of focuses on the $10,000 or $20,000 loan forgiveness, which is on hold until the Supreme Court makes a decision. But even, let's say that that doesn't survive, there are so many other changes to the rules for federal student loans. When you have federal loans, they're all governed by a particular statute, and the statute governs what we can do and when we can get your loans forgiven. So something that listeners should know is that all federal loans by statute will be forgiven. It's just a question of when and if that event will be considered a taxable event.
That's so, not the case right now.
It is the case.
No, I'm sorry. That wasn't the case last year, right? You had to work in certain sectors, right?
Right. Well, so if you work in the public sector, you only have to make 10 years of payments, okay, and then the balance is forgiven. But there's a process you have to go through in order to access that relief. Like we were talking about, sure, that one example, a client of ours who works at in the public sector, they went to law school, had about $120,000 in graduate school loans. And under this program, he paid back about $54,000 and got loan forgiveness of $128,000. So all of that entire loan principal, plus all that interest that starts accruing as soon as the loans are dispersed, really, and as soon as you graduate, all of that gets forgiven and it's tax-free. So you don't even have to pay income tax on that. Well, so we know about public sector loan forgiveness, but it seemed like people in the private sector were kind of left out in the cold. Well, under the changes that the Biden administration is doing, is that if you work in the private sector, and you know, we always hear these clients who have, you know, student loans from the 90s and they've been paying them off and their loan balance is growing and they're just frustrated, right? Because these loans are just not going anywhere and in fact they're growing. Well, under the new Biden administration rules, there's an IDR waiver and there are things that you have to do, kind of affirmative steps you have to take in order to access this. But once we do those steps and turn your federal loans from the wrong type of federal loan into the right type of federal loan, then we can get you much closer to forgiveness.
What does IDR stand for?
Income-driven repayment.
Okay. So right now you might not qualify because you're in the private sector.
Right.
But if you consolidate it into which you help, our listeners could do it on their own.
Yes.
But they have to be careful that they do it the right way.
Exactly.
And if they don't do it the right way, they just completely mess themselves up.
Right. It's a one-time shot. So you want to be careful what you're doing. And essentially, you need to understand the statute, which is where we come in as an attorney. My job is to know and understand the statute and how it applies to you and your loans. But there is this massive relief that's out there. So a friend of mine who's an attorney in the private sector had $300,000 in federal student loans. He was on course to pay them for another 11 years. Because of these IDR changes, he's only going to have another 3 years and the entire balance forgiven. Now, he's in the private sector. So he normally would have to pay some kind of income tax on that. However, under the American Rescue Recovery Act, loan forgiveness through 2025 is not considered taxable income. So it's really important the timing of all of this stuff, right? So we want to make sure that if you have private loans and we settle those for you and get you, you know, a huge discount on the amount that you have to pay, that we do it now so that you don't have to pay income tax on it.
Bankruptcy has never been an option on student loans because of some type of language that was put in during the Clinton administration.
Right.
And that's changing now, right? Isn't that in 2023? Is bankruptcy a possibility to wipe out student loans?
Well, so what happened was student loans, you could always discharge them in bankruptcy up until 2005 with the new bankruptcy reform legislation. And then at that time, they made pretty much all federal student loans non-dischargeable and most private loans non-dischargeable. Well, the Department of Ed in November just released these new guidelines where they will actually agree under certain circumstances, if you have filed a bankruptcy, to discharge, wow, your federal loans, which is huge. And so what we want to do is every individual, the law applies differently. So we have to assess your situation and see if it would be a good idea overall for you to file a bankruptcy. If it makes sense and you have federal student loans, then we would want to follow the Department of Ed's guidelines, file an adversary, and discharge those federal loans. So it's a huge opportunity to huge get rid of loans.
Let's talk about a huge change that we've been talking about off air. The pooling of education funds, instead of putting it in each individual child's name, you could pool it. And this is for grandparents and parents for planning purposes. Because, give you an example, my in-laws set up an account for each of our kids. They put money on each of their birthdays, dollar cost averaged it all the way up until they're 18, and then turned it over to my wife and I and said, here you go. Congratulations, get you a start. And my wife and I started our own funds when each of our kids were born, and we built it up to a certain amount of money. Then we stopped and let it grow over the past 18 years until they go to college. Game changer, you could collectively combine those funds right now. Explain that, please.
Okay, so there are great options. A big part of our practice is pre-debt planning. So we help, obviously, people who already have their federal student loans decide what is the best course of action, have a good strategy and plan in place for those of you guys who already have student loans. But if you have children, it's never too early to start planning for college. And a really good tool is a college savings plan. So they're called 529 accounts, and every state has their own 529 account. So in Illinois, for example, it's called, you would want to go to brightstart.com. And a great way to utilize this is, so basically this is a tax deferred education savings account, kind of like a 401k or an IRA. And you can have it, you know, linked to S&P 500 or just like a straight savings plan. But let's say that you start that account when your child is little, and most of these 529s, they have links where you can, where grandparents and friends and family can all contribute to the 529.
Nice.
So maybe instead of, you know, everybody getting birthday presents or Christmas presents every year, maybe they make contributions to the 529 account. And over, you know, 10, 15 years with interest accruing and the growth in those accounts that you get to realize tax-free, you know, you might have $40,000, $50,000, $100,000, depending on how much you guys contribute into the account over that period of time. And you want to file, you want to open up the 529 in your state so that you get your state's tax deduction.
Now, you could use those funds if the child goes to a school in Indiana or Wisconsin. You don't get, it doesn't have to be used if for an Illinois state school.
No, it does not.
And you don't get penalized if you have two or three kids or 20 kids, whatever you have, and one of the kids wants to just drive a truck and go into the trades and does, and there's nothing wrong with that. Wants a blue collar job, that wants to, doesn't need a college education. You could then pivot and use that money for the other kids that might want to go to college.
Absolutely. So you can change the beneficiary of the trust at any time. So let's say your kids get full ride scholarships and they don't need the money that you've saved all these years in the 529. Maybe you change the beneficiary to your niece and nephew and kind of make it into like a family college savings fund.
Okay.
So that's another really good option that maintains the tax shelter of the plan, as long as the funds are used for college-related expenses, so tuition, room and board, you know, computers, books, all that kind of stuff. Then, and a lot of them also have a debit card so that you can, they can track all of the expenses so that they're tax-free.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're great. And I kind of think that it's a good idea to look at paying for your kids' college education as kind of a pie or a pie chart. So you can have a big slice of that plan be the 529 savings, and then another big slice of it be scholarships. There are scholarships for everything. If you play a musical instrument, if you do any kind of community service, depending on your GPA, and there are ways to access those scholarships for each particular school. There are great websites that curate all of those scholarships, and we can make sure that the parents know how to do that and the kids know how to do that. And then lastly, student loans. We generally advise against private student loans because you just don't have the options that you do with federal loans in terms of flexibility and forgiveness. So it's a good idea to start planning this early on, and then we can also have just a very specific strategy so that the parents know, okay, here's exactly what the payment's going to be when I enter repayment on these federal Parent Plus loans. And another big decision is which of the parents should be the parent plus borrower.
Yeah.
So if you are a parent and you are earning less than your spouse, you probably should be the parent plus borrower, but not always, because if you have a parent that, say, works in the public sector, likely we'll want that parent to be the parent plus borrower.
Or stay-at-home mom or dad.
Or stay-at-home mom and dad. Oftentimes that makes the most sense, too. So it really depends on the family and where everybody is working and where they plan on working once those loans become due. But that's really the point, is to have a good plan in place so that you get the maximum benefit and you pay back, you know, hopefully as little as possible and get a huge amount of forgiveness.
Now, we got 2 minutes. I want to get a couple of other things in there. One's a texter, 815. Can Ray Kaplan help with a student loan with a student who has tons of private student loans and lives in Michigan? States do not prohibit you, because you're an attorney, you operate in all 50 states.
Well, okay, so if you have federal student loans, we can help you, because that's federal law.
Okay.
And so we can handle that. If what the client requires is something that is really controlled by that state's jurisdiction, then I would be limited to Illinois residents. So for private student loans, if that borrower would like us to help settle that debt, then we can help them with that. But if it requires actually appearing in court outside of Illinois, then no, we can't do that. So they should give us a call, because we might just want to talk to them about, you know, potential for settlement and those kinds of options. But we would probably refer them to a Michigan attorney to see if maybe they want to file a Chapter 7 and an adversary to potentially get rid of those private student loans.
Outstanding. All right. So I will forward you the 815 number. You can follow up after the show.
Sure.
One tip, we have a minute left. What's the one thing you want to jettison our listeners on and have to be a successful planning for college in 2023? What's the one thing?
The one thing I would say would be to have a plan in place, even if your kids are young and you're not really thinking about it right now. The decisions that you make right now are going to have a huge impact on your family's finances. Another huge tip is that grandparents can take out 529 accounts with your kids as the beneficiary. And that information does not need to be disclosed on FAFSA. So it doesn't count against the student when they're applying for their own federal student loans. So it's another way to just have more funds available for that student and less loans.
Phone number and website if our listeners want to reach out to you after the show.
312-294-8989.
Thank you for coming in.
Anytime.
Happy, healthy new year to you and your husband.
Thank you, too.